Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Well, on the recommendation of several people, I think this is the first one we've watched that we watched because someone told us to.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, Love Hard was referred to me, but it wasn't, we didn't watch it specifically because of recommendations.
Yeah, this one was recommended, and it is called
Single All the Way. It's a very new, very popular movie on Netflix.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of names you'd recognize or people that you would know. So we've got Barry Bostwick, that's his name. I thought he was somebody else, but it's Barry Bostwick, yes. And who else is in here that we know?
Stifler's mom.
Yeah.
Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, and Katie...
Kathy Nam.
I mean, Kathy
Najimy.
I'm not saying, but Big Greek Wedding, Kathy.
Yep.
And also... the lead character, the guy whose character name is Peter, is somebody named Michael Urie. And if any of you were Ugly Betty fans, he was the snotty, sassy gay assistant. So I recognized him right away. And the rest of the faces are somewhat familiar. If you're a Schitt's Creek fan, then the sister is from Schitt's Creek. She plays the wife of... She plays Mrs. Shit. So lots of names that you recognize.
And a lot of, oh, I know that person.
Yeah, a lot of like, I've seen them in something before. Okay, so kind of a feel-good story. We start, I don't know what this is about L.A. and New England. Have you noticed, Brendan, that...
Well, in my notes from the previous movies that we've done, I made a distinct distinction, LA question mark.
Yeah, like everybody's from LA, and they're all visiting quaint snowy towns.
Right.
Often New England.
Right. There was Ohio once.
Yeah, yeah. But somewhere in the, you know, the Northeast. Okay. So same thing. So we've got our lovable Peter, who lives with his lovable roommate Nick. They're best friends. By the way, if you didn't know if they were gay when you first looked at them, the movie makes really sure that you know they're gay.
Oh, I mean, within the first 15 seconds, there's a lot of heavy-handedness.
Yeah, so if I had one big complaint about this movie, it would be that it acts as if it's like the first groundbreaking gay movie. Like, it makes such a big deal out of every gay trope, like goofy parents who love their kids trying to understand gayness, small town trying to accept gayness, lots of sassy gay talk between friends.
Yep.
It's a little over the top. It's hard for me to say that completely not, you know, living a gay lifestyle at this moment in my life, but I would like to know from a friend of mine or two that does how they felt about it. Did they think it was representational or over the top? Because it felt over the top to me. Like insulting to gay people, not...
At the start, it felt very insulting to gay people. But so, it did even out as the movie progressed.
And I want to be clear that we're not talking about over the top, like, oh, we don't want all of that gayness in our face. I don't mean that at all. No. I mean over the top stereotypical behavior.
Yep.
It seemed a little, I don't know. Anyway, that aside, so we like these two guys. We really do. We like them. And we're rooting for them. And Peter is in a relationship with a guy, finally.
A heart doctor.
Yeah, heart doctor. It's lasted more than a few months. Maybe this is going to be something special. He's going to bring him home for Christmas. Because, of course, as usual, in every Christmas movie, there's the family at home that's very worried about the single child.
Yep.
And always trying to pair them up, and holidays are fraught with distress over their singleness. Super excited. He's going to bring his new boyfriend home. And his best buddy is also happy for him. Nick is really happy for him. Nick, in the meantime, has nobody, no family. This is correct. Established really early on. He's hanging out in L.A. because he's
a writer.
He's a writer. But while he's trying to write his second book, which he's struggling with, he is doing TaskRabbit work.
Yeah, TaskRabbit, it's their fictional app, and I don't have an apt comparison to real life.
Actually, it was very... I'm not sure it's fictional. There's something rings a bell with me that there actually is a TaskRabbit.
Oh, really?
Or something similar to that. It's basically you get people to do odd jobs around your house off of an app.
Yep. It's like Uber for handiwork, basically.
Yeah, so he's doing that because he's a little stuck on his second book. His first book is a children's story about him rescuing his dog. It's based on the actual story of him rescuing his dog.
Quote-unquote real life.
Yeah, so it's a kid's book, super bestseller, made him a lot of money, and now he's doing this in the meantime and saving that money. Okay, so he is decorating somebody's house because that's one of the tasks he does, Nick, as TaskRabbit. He's putting lights up on people's roofs, that kind of thing.
Yep.
While he's there talking to the wife.
The wife is talking his ear off.
Yep, and along comes the husband, and guess who the husband is?
Oh, this is going to be weird.
Oh, God, crazy. Didn't awkward. See it coming, but it's the Peter's boyfriend. Yeah. So now Nick's going to tell Peter. Peter's heart is broken. He's told everybody at home he's bringing a surprise home. So he comes up with a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, your typical let's fool everybody plan. Him and Nick are going to pretend that they're finally a couple because the family's wanted them to be forever.
Correct.
They're going to be a couple. They're going to spend the whole Christmas break there pretending to be a couple.
Correct.
Sounds good. And you think that's what the movie's going to be about.
Correct.
But no.
Well, it should also be noted, Peter, his hobby is plants, taking care of plants.
Oh, loves plants. Loves plants. He's got his own Instagram channel just for plants.
And I just brought that up just because.
That's not going to factor in at all. No. So plant-loving Nick, who really doesn't like his job. His job in L.A., as usual, is some
agent.
He takes pictures. He runs and hires photographers and models, and he's working on an ad campaign for a shaving cream. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, the very first scene of the movie is a bunch of half-naked, looks like Chip and Dale dancers with shaving cream on their face as a Santa beard.
Shirtless.
Yeah. It was like, hey, we're gay, right at the beginning was So anyway, so he's distressed, but he's going to go home. He's going to take Nick. His job for that whole campaign is done. He's just approving photos at this point. No problem with him leaving.
Correct.
And off he goes.
And it should be noted, he's looking forward to seeing his family.
Oh, God, loves his family.
Not like it's an awkward trip.
Nope.
He's actually looking forward to it.
Looking forward to New Hampshire, where he's going, looking forward to his family. So, and his family is large.
Yep.
He's got two sisters.
Yep.
And they're both married.
Yep.
And then each of them has two children.
Kids. Yep.
And they all are super happy. And then there's his mom and his dad. And then there's his crazy aunt, who's Stifler's mom.
Yep.
Right. So so that's the whole crew. We're not getting into a lot of detail about them because that's just too confusing. But that's the whole crew.
Yeah. It's all basically, right? It would turn into Game of Thrones.
Yeah. God loves them. So he comes home, and before he can say to his mom, hey, guess what? You know, Nick and I are a couple now. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. His mother confesses she has a Christmas surprise for him. She has found the one gay man in the entire town, and he happens to work at her gym where she takes spin class. She has told him all about her sunshine pictures, et cetera, et cetera, and she is setting them up on a blind date.
Yep. And instead of being like, Nick... Instead of saying, no, we're dating, he's with me, he is all for it.
Yep. And
all for it.
And encourages him. So we're
so
like,
that
okay.
Original plot line you thought was going to happen is
not
immediately
happening.
Thrown out the
not
window.
Not happening. So really, it was just a device to get Nick there.
Yep.
Right? So maybe this guy's going to be creepy and awful and terrible, and it's not going to work out. But no, he's handsome and amazing and a skin
charming.
Structure.
He's
oh,
very
God. Charming as fuck and good looking as hell, right? So they go on a good first date.
Yeah, and they grab some coffee at the local coffee store.
Oh, God, it's great. They're loving each other. It's fantastic.
They both try to sip their peppermint mocha, and they both sneeze into it or they choke spit on it.
I think it was too hot, but it was not really clearly explained. It was just really an excuse for them to get whipped cream on their face and and
giggle
act
at
dorky.
Each other.
Right. So, yeah, so that happens. They're going to go on a second date. It's going to be an all-day skiing date.
Yes.
Okay. So in the meantime, he's not spending time with his family.
Correct.
And he's sad about that. But who is spending time with his family?
Nick,
right?
Since he does the task rabbit,
he's
a handyman.
Yeah, he's helping them around the house. He's doing stuff. And guess what? Crazy Aunt Stifler's mom apparently runs a Christmas pageant every year. She's insane. She's out of her mind. She casts all of her own kids in it. And apparently it's some town attended event.
It's the trope. Where the village goes every Christmas Eve.
So instead of it being a Christmas party, it's a Christmas pageant. It's always one or the other. Christmas pageant, a Christmas party. So, and she rewrites it herself. So it's odd and weird. And there that makes for lots of great scenes sprinkled throughout the movie. Of her being very waiting for Guffman over the top with these little kids who don't even know what's going on and are trying to be in this Christmas play that she is. It's basically the Nativity, but she has renamed it.
Probably the best rename ever.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus H. Christ.
Yep, that's the name of the play, and it's put up, you know, in lights and
fancy letters.
Yeah, yeah. So she's crazy and she's doing her crazy play thing. And that's kind of an ongoing in the background, right? Mm-hmm. So while Peter and his new boyfriend named James are hitting it off and getting along and making connections and kissing at the ski slopes and all of that's happening, two of the nieces, one of the aunts and the dad have all decided that this is bullshit.
Correct.
Because they really think Peter and Nick should be together.
Oh, yeah. They're all pissed off at the mom.
Yeah.
For
why would they? Because it's clear that they love each other and they should be together. Meant to be. So they're going to try to keep Peter away from the new guy.
Yep.
How do they do this? They get Peter and Nick.
Well, the plot device is one of the sisters and the husband owns a bar.
That's a side thing that they do. But their overall plot is to get Nick and Peter involved in the Christmas pageant.
Oh, right.
Right? As long as they're busy helping
Auntie. As long as they're together doing something.
Yeah, helping crazy Auntie Stifler's mom. they'll be together and he won't be with James.
Right.
And that works most of the time, except they do escape to one date at the parents' bar and... they go into phase two where the sister just starts spilling food on him and saying mean things about her brother and trying to screw it up. That was like a moment in the overall thing.
Right.
But the basic thing is let's like not let them date.
Correct. The family was trying very hard to keep them apart.
Yes, except for the mom.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they were pushing Nick towards him, mm-hmm. and it was a weird love triangle. Not a weird.
By the
love
way,
triangle,
in case you hadn't figured it out, Stifler's mom is the slutty aunt in this one.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, like super booby shots and
a lot
and
of
tight
cleavage,
dresses
yeah.
and heaving and makeup and fancy hair. And she's single, of course, single slutty aunt. And the kids, of course, are super knowledgeable and
very wise. For them.
Oh yeah, the two girls are super wise about how much that Nick and Peter belong together.
Oh yeah, they create plans in order for Nick to admit out loud that he has feelings, and they have intricate plans to make everyone come together at the right.
And then the little kids are super knowledgeable about the book.
Yes,
that Nick's book. Is having trouble writing.
Yep.
Okay, of course, he starts to be able to write it here in New Hampshire.
Away from his dog.
With the help of the two little kids.
Yep, with their encouragement.
Yes. So wise children, lots and lots of wise children. By the way, being home has made Peter realize, it is Peter, right? Am I saying his name right?
Yep.
Makes Peter realize he wants to move back home.
Correct.
Fuck L.A. He wants his home and his relatives, and that just draws him even more to James.
Yeah, he's
James
getting
is
sick,
here.
Sick of his job. He misses his hometown, his home life.
Yeah, so he's ready to move home, and he tells this to Nick, and Nick is totally bummed out, and that helps Nick realize he really does.
Because at one point, his Peter's boss messages him and basically says you have to redo your photo shoot.
Ooh, I forgot about that. And so there he is stuck in New Hampshire. What is he going to do? Everybody's on vacation. So he does a photo shoot with himself, Nick, and then eventually and later, James. So all of the sexy men are with shaving cream on their face doing
the thousands of dollars a company spent for a professional photo shoot.
All gone. And now they're just in the woods with an iPhone.
And that's acceptable for this campaign.
And he takes one picture with Nick and he takes the same picture with James. And he clearly has feelings when he takes the picture of Nick close up.
You can really see the butterflies and sexy, the stomach.
Right. Then he doesn't have that with James. So, yeah. Fast forward to the big moment at the end, right, where the pageant's going to happen.
Yep.
Okay.
Jesus H. Christ.
Jesus H. Christ is happening. James has been invited, so he's watching. And, you know, Peter and Nick are off to the side because they helped orchestrate this whole thing. So they're not in the audience. They're sort of off in a little cubby. And they're watching with their arms around each other, like
holding
hands, around, like super excited about the whole thing. It goes really well, but it's ridiculous. So Stifler's mom is dressed as Glinda the Good Witch. Yeah. I don't know why she's the narrator of this pageant.
I mean, she's the narrator, the star.
Yeah.
I mean, we're shown like the first 2 minutes and the last 2 minutes. So the middle, however long, has got to be some kind of amazing.
It would have had to have been a miracle because everybody goes crazy for this play to the point where they actually suggest to the aunt she should take it on the road.
Yep.
Ridiculous. It was awful.
It was not good.
It was in full with little kids, but the whole town is there on Christmas Eve because, you know, what else are they going to do? By the way, Christmas Eve lasts forever. It's the longest Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah. Time is relative.
Yeah,
in this.
Just stand still.
They had the little sign that says we have
it's like a countdown calendar, and they've got little tags with the numbers of the days. And one time you look at it and it says 7 and then 10
and then 5.
It was ridiculous. And it was on 1 for most of the movie. So
it became Christmas Eve and time just stopped.
So the play's over and Nick and Peter are in the kitchen congratulating each other on how awesome it was. And Nick is like, hey, man, got to tell you, totally in love with you, like into you, want you. It's all about you. And that throws Peter for a loop.
Correct.
Not because he doesn't have feelings for him, but because he's like, oh, no, what if it doesn't work and our friendship is ruined and I want to move home and you live in L.A.?
That's the actual conversation.
Yeah, something like that. And he makes Nick feel really bad. At just that moment, handsome James walks in, is like, guys, the show was awesome. Let's all go out for drinks and celebrate because, by the way, our Instagram photo shoot has blown up and now we're wicked famous.
We're super successful.
Yeah, so they're all famous now and they're going to go have a drink. But I think you can figure out that Nick does not want to be the third wheel. So he says, I'll catch up with you, which is code for I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yep.
Right? Goes home, packs his bag. And then he leaves. He leaves a note behind, right?
And then he ends up in a car that showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah,
Deirdre and I had to really piece together how this car showed up out of nowhere.
Because earlier he was borrowing a car, and now all of a sudden he had
walking,
a car.
He was walking.
Yeah.
It was weird.
So apparently they rented a car that I guess Peter hogged the entire time, and now Nick finally got it, and he's driving back to the airport. But on the way, he gets one last TaskRabbit job call while he's there. And it's to paint the inside of an empty storefront. The guy's like selling his store after all of these years. He's retiring. I think you know where this is going. I knew as soon as I saw it.
Oh,
yeah.
Deirdre called it.
Yeah. That's going to be a plant shop somewhere along the line. So he's there painting. Peter and James are out for a drink. And as always happens in these movies, the jilted person that nobody likes, which would be James in this, is so good and wonderful. He's the one that points out to Peter, dude, it's you and Nick. It's not you and me.
You're cool.
Yeah.
I think you're cool.
I like you. You like me. But the two of you are like meant to be. Yeah. Right?
Finish this movie correctly.
Yeah.
Go.
So like you got to run along. But before he runs along, slutty aunt comes over and hits on James because she thinks he's been eyeing her all night and doesn't realize he's gay. She gets shooed away, but that's okay because she's going to hook up with the town karaoke. Snowplower slash karaoke king.
Slash notary.
Slash notary. That sings a handwritten, penned Christmas ditty every year. It's tradition.
This town has more than one tradition. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. So he sings it at the local bar. We're going to see that during the credits. But right now, she's hitting on the gay man and he's, you know, letting her off lightly. And Peter is running off to find Nick. So he finds the letter. Oh, no. I've missed him. I've lost him. He's texting him. No answer. As he's hurtling towards the airport, he notes the car that nobody knows where it came from.
Yeah, the rental car that showed up. The rental car that parked off to the side.
Yeah. And he sees that it's in front of this shop, and he goes in, and there is Nick painting, and Nick tells him, "This is your Christmas gift. I've rented this. I've paid 6 months. I got you a good lease, and you're gonna have your plant shop here." And Peter's like, "I love you too," right?
Yep.
And confesses his love, barfs that out.
Nick basically says, "You didn't ask me to stay, but if you did, I will."
And now he's staying because he's got no family. That's been pointed out numerous times before. He can write anywhere.
Right.
And by the way, he's been writing the book so much better here with his family because he's always wanted a family.
Right.
So
and
now,
he also handwrites it, so it really doesn't matter where he is.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't matter. So, oh my God, they're in love. Now it's Christmas morning. Everybody's opening presents.
Which they all know what their gifts are. That's a side story. Yeah, everyone knows their gifts.
Everybody's peeked and seen their gifts. Most of them are getting pithy signs that are handmade by their mom.
Yep.
So anyway, it's at that moment that they share the first edition of this new sequel book about the dog.
It's handwritten in a notebook.
Yeah, because it's the first edition.
That Nick gives to the two
nephews. Little kids who are such fans of the first book and are the ones that inspired him to write the second one. And they turn to the end to see if it's a happy ending. And it says,
Nick, Peter, and Emmett moved to New Hampshire for
Emmett's
good.
Yeah, Emmett's the dog.
Yep.
Right. So that's how they tell the family that they're all together. Then they do a big mushy kiss. And then credits roll. And we see Karaoke Man singing the song that he wrote for this year. And it is Single All the Way. So that's where it comes from.
Yep.
And Stifler's mom goes up on stage and basically lap dances him and shakes her boobs for
typical Christmas dancing.
Right? I mean, come on, what's Christmas without boobs? Right.
And this karaoke guy, since we have time, I'll throw it in there. He's from old school. He's the singer of the wedding band that sings Total Eclipse of the Heart, and he curses every other word. It's the same guy.
Yeah, and he does it's actually a really funny song.
It is
it's
a
quite
very funny song. It's a good ending.
We watched through the entire credits, actually.
The only movie
that.
Where we've actually watched the credits because there was a reason to.
Yeah, and well, plus Stifler's mom was shaking her tatas. So
well, you watch for your reason, I watch for mine.
Right. So Merry Christmas and happy tatas.
Boobs.